The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's a Thursday here on the Blogging the Boys podcast network, so you know what that means. It's time to get riled up on the Cowboys with your man, host RW3, Roy White, myself, and my good buddy, the namesake of the program, Mr. Tom Ryle, who you can follow on social media at TomRyleBTB. You can, of course, follow me, as I mentioned, at RW3 on Twitter. And you can follow the great programming here at Blogging the Boys, not just on Twitter, at Blogging the Boys, and not just in the podcast world, but you can also follow us on our YouTube page. That's right. Blogging the Boys has a YouTube page that we are putting content on there on a daily basis for you, running through Cowboys training camp, and we will have live streams coming to you for the next several weeks, including after the first episode of Hard Knocks begins, starting in 2 weeks from now, and post Cowboys first game of the preseason, which coincidentally, Tom, just 1 week from now, but that is wow. Not real 1 week. I know. Wow. Right. but unfortunately that is not really the news that has taken over the news cycle over the last 24 hours, Tom, because we had a mighty, mighty scare out in Oxnard as Dak Prescott leaves the practice field with an apparent arm injury. Now, all the reports of him leaving the field gave us the impression that it was very innocuous. It wasn't anything significant. No one could actually tell what was ailing him as he was leaving the field with the head trainer and several other personnels with the Dallas Cowboys. But we got word late last night that the Cowboys believe that he's got a slight muscle pull in his throwing shoulder. Quote, felt some soreness in his throwing arm, but didn't want to push it with deep throws, knowing that they would be throwing deep later in yesterday's practice. The team says they are not concerned about it. Dak Prescott, for his part, gave a quote to DallasCowboys.com in which he said, quote, I felt some soreness when making certain throws today, and I really just decided not to push things too far. Better to be cautious and smart about it. I don't see this as any kind of serious setback. We'll treat it on a daily basis, and I'll be fine. Further reports indicate that with a muscle pull, we may be looking at a couple of weeks, but still being 6 weeks out from the beginning of the regular season, not the worst time to have this happen, Tom. But where does that leave us for a quarterback who may be close to an entire year, having since played on a football field, and will now have to miss at least the next couple of weeks as a result of a muscle pull in his throwing arm?
Well, it does bring up the well-known question, is your heart strong enough for training camp? Because I know that my heart was in my throat when they said that, oh, he wasn't throwing and he wasn't participating and he was rubbing his arm, and I'm like going, oh, I'm scared. But, yeah, where it leaves the team is, first off, get out the bubble wrap if you have to. Get him to the Thursday night season opener against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, he needs to work on timing. He needs to get out there and make sure it's down. But all the caution in the world is just fine at this point. If he needs to take a couple weeks to get himself right and make sure that his shoulder is really good, And, you know, I think you're looking at that as an up to a couple of weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he's back a bit sooner than that. But, you know, we'll leave that up to the medical people and him to figure out what to do. But, you know, maybe it's time that they can find out a little bit more about what they got in backup quarterbacks, which kind of, you know, I don't know here, because the practice on Wednesday was another big day for the defense, but a lot of people were pointing out that it was more about the fact that the offense, namely the backup quarterbacks, were making a lot of mistakes. There were 5 interceptions, and some of the replays of those interceptions showed that it was just, you know, putting the ball where only the defensive back could catch it kind of thing, you know. So, yeah, that's a big question. Garrett Gilbert does look like he is clearly the player they want to be their quarterback to from what they've got in camp. But it does raise that question. Do the Cowboys really need to stand pat with what they've got, or do they need to look around a little bit more? You know, they've shown that they're not afraid to go out and grab some more talent at this point with the Malik Hooker signing. You know, which I'm really in favor of, you know, and we're going to not see Hooker very much for a while because the guy's coming in cold and they've got to get him up to speed. But, you know, the problem is that you've got that thing like, man, we need an experienced quarterback to come in to be a backup. Man, there's not a whole lot out there. If there were any good, wouldn't these people be signed by another team? Because it's not like every team is set at quarterback or their backup position out there in the league. So, you know, what you got? I saw somebody kicking around the name Blake Bortles. And having recently binge-watched The Good Place, I don't know how I feel about that. But, you know, I don't know what they would do. I would not be surprised if we don't see reports of some quarterbacks coming through for some workouts and talks and there as they try to get a better feel. I certainly would put that on the to-do list to start checking what's out there and be ready in case you need to go with something real fast.
Yeah, it's clear that they had an idea that Garrett Gilbert would probably be the front man in line. At this point, and based on what we've seen and what I've read, no one else is really in serious consideration. Ben DiNucci has essentially played his way onto a practice squad and off of the 53-man from everything that I've seen and read. And I never really considered Cooper Rush to be in this conversation anyway. He was always, in my mind, just a camp body. So if anybody had an opportunity to fill this backup role, it was going to be Garrett Gilbert. But based on the one practice that we have now on file without Dak Prescott, the offense wasn't able to get a first down. And that is another part, you know, on a quick side note, it's also – for me now, impossible to get hyped about anything that the defense is doing against this offense because they're doing it against a second-rate offense. And yeah, that portion of it, right, you can officially wipe away any of the great feelings you have about what the defense is doing because we really just don't know. Unfortunately, we're now in a place where you will have to wait to see how this defense performs against actual NFL opponents in order to make any determinations about it. And I'm perfectly fine with that. What I do worry about, though, is that Dak Prescott has been away from the game as long as he has. Wednesday was the first padded practice for the team, and he didn't even take a bump, and he's already feeling, you know, some type of way, right? Now, muscle pull, muscle strain, however they want to classify it, if it's enough to keep him out for a week or two, well, now – for sure we know he's not going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game anymore.
Yeah.
Which was a game that he himself said he wanted to get out and have an opportunity to play in, just if nothing else, to shake some of that rust off. Well, now the timeline looks like if he's going to be shaking any rust off, it might not be until week 3 for the Cowboys of the preseason, which if it if that is the case, that will be the only game that Dak Prescott sees any action in the preseason before, as you suggested, they wrap him in bubble wrap and get him ready to play the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a Thursday night. Blake Bortles, to me, is the answer. And not necessarily the answer that gets you excited, but he's the answer that at least makes you feel comfortable at the backup spot. Released earlier this week by the Green Bay Packers after they made the announcement and got the official word that Aaron Rodgers would be returning to the team. They released him on Tuesday. So it's kind of perfect timing for the Cowboys to hopefully swoop in. They obviously are in need in that position. And they can offer him something that a lot of other teams probably can't. And that is reps at camp, right? An opportunity to prove yourself. No one's going to give Blake Bortles, a former first-round draft pick, number two overall by the Jacksonville Jaguars, no one's going to give him an opportunity to start in the NFL at this point. But to earn a backup position outright, he has as good of a shot to do that as any quarterback currently with the Cowboys today. And I would be surprised if they didn't make that call. I would be pissed if they didn't make that call, quite frankly, because if nothing else, to have an experienced NFL arm in camp is going to do more for the development of the other young offensive pieces you have than throwing out guys like Gilbert and DiNucci and Rush.
As a matter of fact, I would take it a step further. They need to move fast before somebody else snaps up Bortles because, like we were talking, there's not a lot out there, and the Cowboys are probably not the only team that are wondering about it. The advantage the Cowboys have is most of the other teams are just into 1 or 2 days of practice. The Cowboys have already gone through this is fifth practice, right?
Well, we're a week into it now, Tom. Yeah, fifth practice. Yeah. They didn't have a day off, but we're a week into practice now for the Cowboys, where some other teams just started on Tuesday.
So they don't – other teams haven't had a chance for something to go wrong where they need to bring in another quarterback, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen out there. A quarterback one, quarterback two, something's going to happen to some other team, and they're going to be looking real fast. So I think there's a time pressure element for the Cowboys. As a matter of fact, since we record this a little bit before it goes out, yeah, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if people are listening to this if there's not something already in the wind about Blake Bortles and the Cowboys. But, yeah, I would not be at all shocked to see him showing up out in Oxnard and maybe not walking out of there without having his name on a deal, in which case then I would strongly look at splitting the reps between him and Gilbert, and if they can manage the roster properly, keep Cooper Rush in for a while just to make sure they aren't overworking the arms. But Rush is the obvious guy that I think would have to give way in that case. They still see DiNucci as having some developmental value. I think they want Gilbert to maybe grow into a long-term solution, but man, if Bortles worked out, then I don't know. Maybe they roll into the season with Prescott and Bortles if they were to bring him in, which is all, highly speculative, people. We're not predicting that. We're just saying these are things that suddenly, after what happened today, maybe it's time to think about it.
Hey, we're proactive solution solvers. We're looking for solutions for the Dallas Cowboys, and we want them to be in the best position possible. Right now, thankfully, it's not serious for Dak Prescott, at least everything we're hearing. Take that with a grain of salt based on the Cowboys' history, as we've talked about on our podcast many times before, Tom. Do not necessarily buy exactly what the Cowboys are selling when it comes to the injury front. But for now, I'll take Dak's word for it that he still feels comfortable and he still feels like he'll be ready to go for the regular season. A little bit of a setback, though, for everybody on the offense, and not just, not just the play callers, not just the wide receivers, but really, the defensive side of the ball too suffers, because I don't think they get to play against the very best that the NFL has to offer and that the Cowboys have to offer on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
With that being said, we also got some additional injury news earlier this week. for that offense. We know Amari Cooper's been out with the ankle injury, starting the offseason on the PUP list. We now have Michael Gallup, who apparently tweaked his ankle earlier this week and was unable to go Wednesday. They're taking that injury day by day. Again, not one they seem to be overly concerned with, but with both Amari and Gallup off the field, that takes away some significant targets for these quarterbacks trying to make an impression against a defense that, you know, right now looks like they've got the upper hand. You know, again, take the defensive performance with a little bit of a grain of salt, because even when they were picking off Dak Prescott, I always say to myself, well, Dak Prescott's not throwing the ball away when he's under pressure, and he's not throwing the ball away when he doesn't have a target. He will in the regular season, but in the preseason, I expect him to let it loose. I expect him to try to force it into windows. I expect him to give it a shot, right? There's nothing to be lost from doing that. So take those interceptions with a grain of salt, and take the fact that they dominated against an offense with Garrett Gilbert and Cooper Rush and Ben DiNucci also with a grain of salt. The Michael Gallup injury, how significant is that? And by the way, I don't know if I asked you about this on a completely different topic, but the Xavien Howard news kind of got whipped up again today as word came out of Miami that he is not really interested in sticking around in Miami. I kind of did when you were out 2 weeks ago, I did a little bit of a podcast on the three ideas and trade thoughts that I had that the Cowboys could or should potentially offer. What are your thoughts on adding a guy like Xavien Howard or attempting to for this Cowboys team?
It would certainly be an indication this team is all in on winning it, you know, on getting somewhere this year. And I can't say that it's not necessarily – I'm not going to say that it's necessarily a bad idea. You know, I'm feeling better about the cornerbacks they have. You know, they've had a couple people kind of jump out that I think we might have not been expecting to. So it's a little bit complicated. But, you know, man, at this point, you know, let's take a look. How much can you shuffle up the salary cap, and who can you bring in, and what would the trade cost? Which, you know, you said you went over, but yeah, I'm not going to say that that's something that the door should just be automatically closed on, although some of the media are saying that they ain't going to go there. I will say that we've had a couple things that have kind of developed. You know, first off, you know, CeeDee Lamb has just been looking awesome. So, you know, that was what everybody was kind of expecting. And now he's going to be even more the highlight machine, I think, since you're not going to have Gallup or Cooper out there to share with. But a guy that has kind of emerged as a dark horse, maybe moving into maybe being even better than that to make the roster, is Malik Turner. He's apparently doing some very good things out there, even with catching balls from, you know, the second, third, and fourth team quarterbacks. So, you know, I this is a time I think they're going to really go out there and take a good hard look at what they've got. It's just, okay, you're being cautious with Gallup. He took a bad tumble. It doesn't look to be anything serious, but now let's work those young guys. They've got a whole bunch, as I always do, because you have to have wide receivers to work through all the different, you know, iterations with first team, second team, all that. So let's find out who's good and who they want to maybe keep around. Do they want to try to build a case for a six wide receiver? Could, you know, because you've got, and you've got, you know, both – you've got Famoco, who's already challenging to be a six-wide receiver. Do they go seven? Maybe is this putting pressure on Noah Brown? I don't think it challenges Cedric Wilson. I think he's pretty solid. But, you know, this is some time when people are going to have to make their case, and we're going to see that a lot with wide receivers just because of the situation, just as the backup quarterback's going to have to make their cases.
Yeah. Well, on the trade front, two of the guys that I suggested the Cowboys being willing to move, both Amari and Michael Gallup, quite honestly, it was based on the assumption that CeeDee Lamb is ready to become a beast, ready to be a number one target if given that opportunity. I believe he can be that. I believe he will be that. Over-unders this season have him at 1,100 yards and 6.5 touchdowns. I'm slamming the over on both of those, quite frankly, yeah. Tom. I think with a healthy Dak Prescott, he could eclipse both of those by week 13 or 14. You know, I think the touchdown number is a little bit safer because I think he will be their best red zone threat, especially based on some of the acrobatic catches that he has been making. His radius is outstanding. It is beyond what any other wide receiver, I think, has given this team since maybe Dez Bryant. And I would argue CD's radius may even be larger than what Dez's radius was in his prime with the Cowboys. And we all know what type of monster he was in the red zone.
Yeah. And it sure looks like it in some of those highlights coming out of camp. He's going up and snagging balls that look like they're 12, 13 feet in the air. You know, just some really acrobatic OBJ type catches. And the other thing is he goes up and gets them, comes down with it, and then just walks away like, yeah, no big deal. Doing my job. That's me.
That's what I do.
Yeah. So, a lot of stuff happening. You hate to see things developing because of injuries in camp. You also know it's going to happen. Fortunately, at this point, we're dealing with, quote, minor, unquote, injuries that are happening. So as long as it doesn't become an issue and people are all rounding back into shape and ready to go against the Bucks, then, you know, hopefully it's going to work out. You do get nervous about the lack of coordination and working together, the timing and everything, but let's just hope for the best on that.
Specifically, would you give up Amari or Gallup if it meant Xavier Howard came in return? Just your thoughts. I know it would take a little bit more than each of those individual players, but would you be willing to move them if it meant Xavier Howard coming back to the Cowboys? Because I would.
No on Cooper, but I could see how you could construct an argument with Gallup because I think they're going to wind up losing him in a year anyway, just because of the cost it would take to retain him. And like I said, if Malik Turner and Fumoko both are developing the way they might be developing, then okay, there's a risk you take. The flip side of that is if you've got Cooper, Gallup, and Lamb healthy, you probably have one of the elite wide receiver trios in the league. And do you really want to mess with that? So, yeah, it's up and down. You know, that's a tough one to juggle.
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I mean, granted, right? It's taken it's robbing Peter to pay Paul a little bit, right? It's taken away from that 30-point-a-game expected offense to, in my opinion, raising a defense that now becomes a potentially top 10 defense. And I would rather give Dak Prescott that from a support standpoint. Would give him another great wide receiver. As nice as that has been between, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Gallup, the two tight ends, Tony Pollard potentially in the slot, Zeke out of the backfield, and the slew of other wide receivers that can, you know, serve in a pinch, I think that would be overall a benefit for this team, and overall that would help them put the best field on, you know, team on the field in 2021. But I know we're just going down the hypothetical path of what they could do for Xavier. There's another piece there as well, which is paying him what he would expect. Now, to clarify on that, he has told the Dolphins that really all he wants is to take some of the money from the back end of his contract and guarantee it for this season, move it up to this season, and give him about $16 million per this year. That, to me, is not all that unreasonable for what I believe is one of the two best cornerbacks in the NFL. He and Jalen Ramsey are probably the only two that I would think of constructing a deal like this, but – When you're talking about the guy that's led the league in interceptions in each of the past 2 years, he's been healthy, that's led the league in interceptions since 2017 with 21 of them, had 10 last year, standalone leader in the NFL in interceptions. Like, I know those are fluky stats. I know those don't always come year to year, except for the greats. And he, in my opinion, appears to be one of those.
Yeah. Now, as a contrarian note, Bucky Brooks had an article up where he was talking about the fact that one of the things the Cowboys are trying to do is have positionless wide receivers, whereas they go out there and you've no idea at the start of the play who's your X, who's your Y, and who's your slot. That all of them can play all three slots equally well. You know, do they want to sacrifice that kind of potential? So I just wanted to throw that out, that there's arguments on both sides of the idea. So.
Yeah. Well, no question. And I don't expect them to make this move, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. I think the Cowboys are usually pretty set in their ways. And something like this that comes up as an opportunity, they don't often take, you know, hastily. If someone were to craft a deal to get Xavien Howard, I think it would be put together fairly hastily, and I don't see the Cowboys doing that. But it's fun to play hypothetical games, especially when you're Cowboys fans and you want to just put the best team that you can out there. With that being said, there's a number of standouts to take a look at here in Cowboys training camp thus far through a week. And then there's a number of players that are also riding the struggle bus. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the players who we feel like have been standout performers, whether it be just their presence and their health making an impact, or guys who maybe we didn't expect a whole lot from, like Malik Turner, that you mentioned already. So I'll start with my first standout of the first week of the preseason of training camp, and that would be Tyron Smith. It's not a secret that Tyron Smith has been dealing with injury issues over the past several years. He spoke about it in interviews, both with the Ticket and with the Fan, mentioning that the radio stations here in Dallas, mentioning that, you know, he had been dealing with stingers, had been dealing with consistent issues that he had been playing through. But a season ago, he started to lose some strength in his left arm. And that was where he finally decided that he wanted to take this surgery thing seriously and take the recovery portion of it seriously. Having done that, now he says he feels as fresh as he has at any point in his NFL career. And that's incredible news for a Cowboys team that last year definitely missed his services on the offensive line, of course, along with his buddy Zach Martin there on the inside.
And we got evidence on Wednesday that Tyron is back, because there was a play where everybody was looking at the highlight of one of CeeDee Lamb's nice catches down the field. And what you happen to notice, somebody pointed out, they said, look at what happened with Tyron Smith and Randy Gregory. And the only way to describe it is that Gregory tried to rush and Tyron Smith just tossed him to the ground like he was an underweight fifth grader. Just absolutely, he landed on his knees 5 feet behind the line of scrimmage, and it was like effortless from Tyron. You know, he definitely looked good. And you keep hearing from people in the media that they said, you just watch him and you can see he's not in pain, that he's comfortable, he's smiling, he's moving, you know, without any limitations at all. Believe me, I know, because I occasionally walk by a mirror. You can tell when somebody's having trouble with their movement and everything. And, you know, because I feel that and I can see it myself all the time. So it's, you know, it looks like he's really come along. Now, can I kind of throw out a guy that's kind of a surprise next?
Please.
Maurice Kennedy, a forgotten man, because he sat out under the COVID option where he didn't have the disease. He just elected to sit out 2020 out of caution. So the Cowboys retained the rights to him this year. He came back. Most people kind of thought, man, well, he's just, no, man, you know. And he's just had back-to-back interceptions. Again, you're talking about the fact that it goes up to the people that he's playing against, but they were good-looking plays, you know. And let's face it, in an NFL game, a lot of times you get bad throws from the other side, and the Cowboys have been unable to capitalize on that. Trevon Diggs has talked about the fact that he's really focused on getting the interceptions when he gets his hands on the ball and not letting go through missing the opportunities. Kennedy looks like somebody who could be a part of that. And I think we may have slept on him a little bit just because of the circumstances. You know, that's one of the reasons why I think that cornerback room is looking a lot better than it used to look.
No question about it. Kennedy has been one of those guys that's been talked about by a lot of folks who've been watching out there at camp. And, yeah, forgotten man because of COVID-19 restrictions, but also, I mean, really because of the fact that we didn't really see a whole lot from him up until that point, right? I mean, he's still been kind of a developmental piece in the NFL and in the early portion of his career. But as far as secondary players go, he's been one of the main bright spots there in that secondary without question. Another guy in that secondary that I would say has been a standout thus far is Trevon Diggs. Every bit of the player that the Cowboys took and then some. The interviews that he has done and spoken about kind of his mentality really impressed me because not only – is he not impressed by anybody he's lining up against, right? He never feels like the moment is too big for him or the player he's lining up against is too big. He said kind of everybody he's played against, he just kind of looks at as, well, this is the best player I'm going to play, so I need to make sure that I'm on my P's and Q's and doing everything I can to combat that, to you know, balance against that and fight against that. So mentally, his approach has been incredible, and I think that he's kind of proven that he can take that number one cornerback mantle that and really be a guy that potentially delivers some game-changing plays. Those interceptions, there's a really great note in some of the practice notes about how Mike McCarthy has incorporated the skill players on the defensive side of the ball into some of the pass catching drills that the tight ends and the wide receivers are going through as well. Something you see a lot more in high school than you do at the pro level, but it just illustrates how much this coaching staff is putting an emphasis on getting turnovers coming up this season. And frankly, that's not something that has been a staple of the Dallas Cowboys defense for well over half of a decade now. Yeah. They've been amongst the bottom feeders in the NFL in terms of interceptions and really turnovers in general.
And some props to McCarthy because, you know, he's gotten a lot of criticism, you know, and certainly there's some justification for it. But that seems like an incredibly simple thing that every NFL team ought to be doing. Why don't you want your defensive backs learning how to hang on to the ball, how to track it? If nothing else, I think that learning how to track the ball and get your hands on it would help you in defending against a completed pass. So that's kind of a cool thing. Now, for some reason, we kind of fall into it. I've got another kind of under-the-radar guy that had a really great day on Wednesday that I don't think many people saw coming. That's the other Connor McGovern. You know, they've been using Connor Williams a lot at center because that's apparently the plan for him. And, you know, I'm not
looking
sure
good for our boy Farniok, is it?
I don't know. They may need the depth there. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we get to some of the things that ain't going so good. But he was in, I can't remember, Zach Martin got another day off, you know, because he's got a little bit of a tweaked ankle or something. But anyway, McGovern was getting a lot of work, maybe while Connor Williams was working at center as they're trying to come up with a fallback plan with in case Biadasz gets hurt. But everyone said that he was handling everything that came at him, no matter who was coming at him across the line. He was holding his own, standing his ground, and looking very good. Been a lot of disappointment in McGovern's development, and it would be really great if the light is coming on and everything's coming together for him at this point, because that would be a valuable depth piece along the offensive line.
Well, you mentioned real quick the Connor Williams backup offensive lineman, backup center position. You know, that'll be one that we will continue to monitor and take a look at, see how they work that rotation when they take on the Steelers there in the Hall of Fame game a week from now. Let's look at the struggle bus, though. Let's look at the guys riding on the struggle bus. you know, you'd almost have to say that at least a safety would need to be on that list. Otherwise, the Cowboys wouldn't have felt like they needed to go out and sign a Malik Hooker for depth perspective. If I guess I had to name a guy there, I would say perhaps Keanu Neal has not looked like he is going to fill that bill very well of the hybrid safety slash linebacker that they had in mind, you know, covering tight ends and being in there on special circumstances, special situations. There's been at least a couple of videos where he's looked lost within the defense.
Yeah.
Don't want to pile on him too much because it's still very preliminary, but you know, he's a name that I think people have been a little bit disappointed in. And then of course the other name that continues to crop up, I don't want to dogpile on him either, although perhaps he brings it on himself at times with the invocation of the likes of Michael Jordan and LeBron James, but Jalen Smith has not looked good.
Yeah. I wanted to say about Neal that, I don't consider him part of the safety problem. I saw that Hooker was more a response to just the fact that that was still a fairly shallow room, you know, outside of KZ and Donovan Wilson. They didn't really know that they had something solid there. I see Neal's problem more the linebacker, which to me is really shallow.
Position-wide.
That's what I mean. They've got, you know, they basically have Micah Parsons, who everyone is just thrilled with. Leighton Vander Esch is getting rave reviews for what he's doing. And, well, Jabril Cox has been out there a little bit. Neal's struggling in coverage. And
very little
Smith.
Bit.
Smith has looked good at times, and he's looked like last year occasionally, I think. I think that for Smith, the best thing that's coming out is that communication on the defense is reportedly far, far superior to what they saw you last year. They said these people are talking back and forth, and they're noticing fewer missed assignments and bad alignments out there that they seem to really coming down. That may be Smith's salvation because, you know, I think he just needs – somebody needs to make sure he's in the right place. He's not the guy that needs to be making the play calls as long as somebody else is getting everything lined up. But I think he might be able to salvage things a good bit this year. But, you know, I do worry the linebacker room, this whole thing about them carrying five linebackers has always seemed incredibly suspect to me. I think they're going to need to carry six or maybe seven, and hopefully they can find somebody that will emerge from that. I also have heard some things that are making me a little less than happy in the aspect of the backup offensive tackles are not looking great. Ty Nsekhe apparently has not looked good. Terrence Steele has looked like Terrence Steele from early last season sometimes. I'm not sure they've got that problem solved at all. That's why they're, you know, you were talking about Farniok. I'm not sure what their plan is if those two guys don't work out. Brandon Knight kicks back out. Goes back to playing backup tackle. I'm not sure, but that's a little disturbing. And also the international player, Alakon, I'm not too sure I'm saying his name correctly, but Isaac is his first name. He's a guy that he can make the roster as or make the practice squad without counting. But I think they really might be interested in trying to get him maybe moved up to where perhaps he becomes an option because he's a big guy. I'm trying to look up here real quick. I'm sorry, I'm kind of being a little.
Yeah, no, 6'6", 320, and yeah. Played college football at the Monterey Institute of Technology in Monterey.
And he's actually gotten some favorable comments, which I haven't seen any of the other backup tackles getting mentioned. You know, maybe they're hoping Josh Ball is going to come along fast. But if, you know, right now, if you're looking for somebody to look at as a surprise make on the 53-man, Alarcon or Alarcon. I'm not sure how to pronounce that
properly. Alarcon. He is a Mexican national player. Like
yes.
From the country of Mexico, and actually got into the league through the International Player Pathway Program. So he's a very interesting prospect. His nickname is pretty great. The Mexican Juggernaut.
I think he might be a dark horse to maybe become the swing tackle or one of a couple of backup tackles on the unit. Because I saw, I've seen some roster projections with the Cowboys carrying 10 offensive linemen, and that does not seem like how you structure it. It seems to me like 9 is normally kind of the high end. And I saw somebody projected 11, which I thought was just mind-boggling. Yeah,
I think they'll go on the lower end. I agree with you. I think they'll go on the lower end if they feel 100% confident in the health of Tyron, Lyle, and Zach. Because if you feel like all those guys are healthy going into week one, then you don't need as much depth.
Right? Yeah, you're only going to carry.
If are skeptical on that we were a season ago, then 10 or 11 maybe in the cards. But I agree with you. I'm probably going 9 if all those guys make it through the preseason unscathed.
Yeah, and the typical game day roster, you're going to have 8 active. You know, you're going to have, usually a swing tackle and then a couple of interior O-line backups. And the Cowboys are really looking at people who have that position flexibility, which is why Brandon Knight is getting so much work at guard. So, you know, you're going to have one guy who's going to be inactive every week, and that's normally how they roll. 9 is, to me, a really good number just from the way you have to build your roster. And they certainly got other places they can use those roster spots. So, yeah, that's something that I think is going to bear watching. And it's like I said, I've been seeing things from it's been Brian Broaddus that has been beating the drum of the problems at backup OT mostly. And when he starts beating a drum, you need to listen to the rhythm because he usually knows what he's talking about, especially with linemen, because that's where he grew up when he was playing in college.
Well, the other part with Broaddus is, and knowing him personally, the other part is he doesn't put a ton of stuff out there that's straight from his own thought process, right? He confers with a lot of other individuals, including individuals that are working with the Cowboys. So if he is sharing something and saying it is his own opinion, more often than not, that opinion is backed up by several different sources that are either confirming that opinion or enforcing that opinion or giving him that opinion to begin with, right? He's not going to out the sources that he has, but he is very plugged in with what the Cowboys are doing, both from what he sees through his scout's eye and through what he hears within the organization, has a ton of antlers within the organization, antennas, if you will, to get that information. The last one I wanted to mention just as a standout, even though not a player, I think the main standout from a coaching standpoint, everybody's raving about Dan Quinn and his hands-on approach to the defense, right? Are we making too much of Dan Quinn getting out there and being willing to show guys hand position and having some excitement, some giddy up? I mean, it's been a long time from a defensive coordinator standpoint. Don't get me wrong. Rod Marinelli's his energy and his personality was fantastic. And I thought he was the type of guy that at least maybe it wasn't always the best from a scheme standpoint, but I do believe like his players played their asses off for him. However, no one ranted and raved about what Rod Marinelli was doing on the defensive side of the ball. We're starting to get a lot of that with Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I would say to the question of are we getting too excited about it, my answer on this one is absolutely not. The feedback coming from the players is just outstanding. And the teaching that they just – every day they've got – not one, but multiple videos of him working one-on-one with Randy Gregory, Micah Parsons, any of the defensive tackles, just constantly going over what he wants to see. And I think we're not only going to see the team playing better under him and responding to him well, we're going to see individual growth from him. I think somebody mentioned that he was the one that made Grady Jarrett into the defensive player he is. I think this is fantastic. I think the Cowboys are getting exactly what they hoped for him. And that's something I think that we're not hyping just because of the, you know, the lack of good quarterback play and the offense struggling, because that doesn't affect what's going on the live play, the line play. And we're seeing some good defensive line play from everything I can hear. You know, things got a little bit distracted today with all the Dak panic and the things going on. But, you know, I think we're going to start getting more from that. I think it's going to be very good stuff. You know, and you've got, you know, that you've got a lot of that steel sharpening steel going on out there right now. You've got Randy Gregory going up against Tyron Smith. You know, that's a master class in being an offensive tackle. You know, we
on well, the talk, interior. I mean, the likes of Gallimore and the likes of Odighizuwa going up against Zach Martin and the guys on the interior. Like, those are significant battles as well. And we haven't even seen DeMarcus Lawrence yet. The first team working with the defensive line on what that may look like. So just wanted to make sure we made a mention of Dan Quinn, because the excitement, the hype train is building for our man Dan Quinn. And, hey, it's probably going to be a big focus on the defense for the next week, as we mentioned, because Dak Prescott likely going to be out for at least a week and maybe several as he tries to get ready and back into form from the muscle strain that both he and the Cowboys say is no big deal. Again, take that with a little grain of salt. So with that, Tom, one more time, pump up the YouTube page. Go check us out at Blogging the Boys on YouTube, right? Great content on a daily basis. RJ Ochoa anchoring things. And our man Tom has got something on that front as well.
Yeah, not on the YouTube front. This time next week, I will be winding my way north out of California after having spent three practices in Oxnard. So I don't believe I'm going to be available to record a week from Wednesday, because that is the day I fly out of LAX up to Portland to go get a little bit of vacation time in, the first vacation I've taken in over a decade. But I am going to be trying to bring content, you know, on Twitter. I'm going to be trying to write, do a daily camp report. I'm very excited. As I said, I'll be covering three practices. That's the first time ever for me. You know, stay tuned on Blogging the Boys, people, because this is a bucket list thing for me, and I'm really hoping to bring you some good stuff.
Yeah, and make sure you follow him at Tom Ryle BTB on Twitter. You're going to get all that content directly to your phone, to your tablet, to your smartphone, wherever you're on the social media apps. Yeah, Tom, thank you for reminding me of that, because that is going to be fantastic. I hope you have a fantastic trip out there. Say hi to the boys for me. You guys got great vantage points now, I see, there for the fans that do get to watch these practices. So I look forward to seeing that. Make sure you check out all of Tom's content on bloggingtheboys.com, of course, powered by our friends at SB Nation. We will have YouTube content for you as well. So remember to follow the YouTube page, Blogging the Boys on YouTube. But for Tom, at Tom Ryle BTB, I'm Roy at RDub3 on Twitter. You can follow us. Make sure you follow the program, and make sure you hit that subscribe button so you get all the great podcasts coming to you from the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation. For Tom, I'm Roy. We will see you next week. Cowboy up.